Narayana namaskrityam naram caiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudirayet nashtapraye sabhadrishu nityam bhagavata sevayam bhagavatirutamashlokem Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtikir Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Liberation, Chapter number 4, Ambarish Maharaj offended by Durvasa Muni, Texts number 23 and 24. I think text 24 is on the board. I will read 23 as it has no purport, and then we shall read 24 together.
Yasya kratushu girvane sadasya ritvijo jana Tulya rupascha nimisha vyadrishyanta suvascasam.
Translation. In the sacrifice arranged by Maharaj Ambarish, the members of the assembly and the priests, especially Hota, Udgata, Brahma and Ardhvayu, were gorgeously dressed and they all looked exactly like demigods. They eagerly sought to the proper performance of the yajna. Text 24.
Svargona prartito yasya Svargona prartito yasya Manujeramara priyam Shinvadbir upagayadbir Uttama shloka cheshtitam Svargona prartito yasya Manuje ramara priyam Shrinvadbhirupagayadbhir Uttama shloka cheshtitam
Matajis. Word for word translation. Svarga, life in the heavenly planets. Na, not. Prartitam, a subject for aspiration. Yasyam, of whom? Ambarish Maharaj. Manuje, by the citizens. Amara Priyaha, very dear even to the demigods. Shinvadbhi, who are accustomed to hear. Upagayadbhi, and accustomed to chant. Uttama Shlokam, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Cheshtitam, about the glorious activities. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. The citizens of the state of Maharaj Ambarish were accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the Personality of Godhead. Thus, they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear even to the demigods. Purport. A pure devotee who has been trained in the practice of chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and His fame, qualities, form, paraphernalia and so on, is never interested in elevation to the heavenly planets, even though such places are extremely dear even to the demigods. Narayana para sarve na kutashchana bibhyati svarga pavarga narakeshva pituliyartha darshina. Devotees solely engaged in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan, never fear any condition of life. The heavenly planets, liberation and the hellish planets are all the same to a devotee. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 17, Text 28. A devotee is always situated in the spiritual world. Therefore, he does not desire anything. He is known as akama, or desireless, because he has nothing to desire except to render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because Maharaj Ambarish was a most exalted devotee of the Lord, he trained his subjects in such a way that the citizens in his state were not interested in anything material, including even the happiness of the heavenly planets.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakayam Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaham Shri Chaitanya Manobishtang Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitang Tang Sajivam Sadvetam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpatim Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priyem Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacham Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaham Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityanandam Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrindam Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
I'll read the verse and the translation once more. Svarguna prarthito yasya manujairamara priya shinvadbirupa gayadbiruttama shloka cheshtitam. The citizens of the state of Maharaj Ambarish were accustomed to chanting and hearing about the glorious activities of the Personality of Godhead. Thus, they never aspired to be elevated to the heavenly planets, which are extremely dear even to the demigods. Hare Krishna. So before I speak anything, I would like to ask for blessings from His Holiness Bhakti Priyad Bhagat Maharaj and other senior devotees who are present here, so that I can do justice to the verse for the pleasure of the devotees who are assembled here. We are hearing about Maharaj Ambarish from the beginning of the Bhagatam. Sukhdev Goswami, in the initial cantos, was speaking about the reign of the different Manus. So he started with describing the first Manu, and his descendants, Swayambhuva Manu and his descendants. And that was quite a lengthy description. We hear about Dhruva Maharaj and the Prachetas, as well as the daughters of Swayambhuva Manu and their descendants, including Lord Kapila. Swayambhuva Manu had 2 sons and 3 daughters. The sons were Uttanapad and Priyavrata, and the daughters were Akuti, Prasuti and Diti. So their descendants take up almost half the Bhagavatam. And after the description of the descendants of Swayambhuva Manu, the other Manus are being described. And particularly in the 8th canto, a lot of these Manus were fast-forwarded. Right? What came, who are the demigods, and who are the great sages, and who are the notable personalities in their line. Right? And so in describing all these Manus, we finally reach the 8th Manu, Vaivashvata Manu, and his descendants. Right? And of course then, Lord Krishna's description and activities will come as part of this ongoing descriptions. So we are hearing about Ambarish Maharaj and his line. And we see that in this description, Sukhdev Goswami, he is actually taking some time to describe about the glorious character of Maharaj Ambarish. What was so notable about Maharaj Ambarish, how he was engaged in devotional service, and these are the descriptions that we are hearing. In today's particular verse, we are hearing how Ambarish Maharaj was training all his subjects in the art of devotional service. So much so that the subjects did not desire heavenly planets. This shows that the process of devotional service, if properly performed, enables the practitioner to be free from the desires of going to the heavenly planets or any other material desires. Devotional service, if rendered properly, is so glorious that one gives up material desires. And our Srimad Bhagavatam has so many examples of how devotees gave up their material desires. The very famous example is Dhruva Maharaj. Therefore, Sukhdev Goswami mentions, Akama sarvakamova mokshakama udaridi tivrena bhakti yogena yajita purushaparam. Whether one is desiring liberation, whether one is desireless, or whether one is full of material desires, one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead with intensity. Tivrena, with intensity. And as we see in the example of Dhruva Maharaj was insulted by his stepmother, and being a Kshatriya, he could not tolerate that insult. And when he went to his mother to ask for a solution, how to counteract this insult, the mother asked him to engage in the process of devotional service. And we are all familiar with the pastime. Dhruva Maharaj met Narada Muni, and through Narada Muni's mercy, he engaged in pure devotional service. So much so that when he got darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said, I do not want anything. But you see, Dhruva Maharaj's motivation for engaging in devotional service was that he wanted something. He wanted a kingdom greater than that of his grandfather. But in the process of engaging in devotional service, when it came time to ask for something, then he said, I don't want anything. So you see here, Ambarish Maharaj, He trained his citizens so well in the art of devotional service, which is primarily composed of hearing and chanting. Therefore, we see the words being used, Shinvadbir and Gayadbir. Primarily, he trained them in the art of hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord. And they were so proficient in this that the citizens did not desire to go to the heavenly planets. In this material world, we see the conditioned souls, they only have one aim. That aim is of sense gratification. And in order to engage in the process of sense gratification, to have their desires fulfilled, some of them worship demigods and some of them rely on their own endeavor. Therefore, the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita that those who worship the demigods, they are alpa medasa. They are less intelligent. But we see even in the Bhagavatam, this process is recommended. Sukhdev Goswami in the second canto, he outlines a whole long list of material desires that conditioned souls have and the respective demigods that are to be worshipped. So those who are a little bit pious, they worship demigods. They engage in the process of religiosity for fulfillment of their material desires. But they are less intelligent, as Lord Krishna says. Therefore, at the end of that whole list of which demigod to be worshipped for which desire to be fulfilled, Sukhdev Goswami says that one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly, even if one is full of material desires. We see a whole section in the Vedas, they are dedicated to the fulfillment of material desires. This is known as Karma Kanda. And the descriptions of the heavenly planets have been given. And when we hear, or those who hear about these descriptions, they get attracted. They get attracted. Lord Krishna, in the second canto of the Bhagavad Gita, he says that these are Pushpita Vacha, flowery words of the Vedas. And one should not be attracted to these. This is the instruction that Lord Krishna is giving Arjuna. But in general terms, we see most people are attracted by these descriptions of the heavenly planets. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, Sukhdev Goswami is giving a description of the various planets that are situated in this universe. And a description of the heavenly planets has been given there as well. And we see such wonderful descriptions, how the residents of the heavenly planets, they are always youthful. Their bodies, they remain in the stage of youth for a very, very long time. Their senses never get deteriorated. There is no misery. They are always engaged in higher sense gratification. And so when these kind of descriptions are heard, people naturally get attracted. We see this even in our daily lives. Like when people hear about countries that are fantastic to stay in, like America or Europe, people have a desire, let's go there. Life there is better, you get more money, you get more comfort. Yeah. So in the same way, when we hear descriptions of the heavenly planets, those who are full of material desires, they say, oh, sense gratification there is better. So let us go there. And therefore they adopt the process of religion, dharma, to fulfill their desire to go and actually enter into the heavenly planets. But we see this sense gratification is actually a cause of misery. Shine punya marte lokam vishalam. Even if one enters the heavenly planets, as soon as the pious credits are over, one has to come back to this material world. And coming back to this material world means to accept misery. Birth, death, old age, disease. This is standard. And then there are three more on top. Misery is caused by the mind, adhyatmik klesh. Misery is caused by other living entities, adhibhautik klesh. and miseries caused by natural disturbances, Adidevi Klesh. So it's a short-term policy. It's a short-term policy. Yes, there is greater sense gratification in the heavenly planets, but then ultimately it leads to misery. Therefore, the process of devotional service is such that even if one has the desire to go to the heavenly planets, but engages in the process of devotional service, that desire gets purified. The desire gets purified. This is the beauty of devotional service. Because Lord Krishna, He does not give misery to His devotees. Therefore, He'll not give sense gratification that will ultimately lead to misery. This is the beauty of Lord Krishna. We see time and time again, so many devotees in the Bhagavatam, when they get darshan of the Lord and the Lord asks them, what do you want? They say, we don't want anything. We don't want anything material. We don't want anything that will give pleasure to our senses. And in this way, therefore, the devotees, they are always free from anxiety. Because the more sense gratification, the more anxiety. We see in this material world, the very rich people, those who have a lot of money, they're full of anxiety. In 2008, we had the crash, great crash of the stock markets. Someone who had a lot of money in the stock market was full of anxiety. Because any day it can crash, and it did crash. And some people committed suicide because they did not know how to live without money. One day they were king, the next day they were paupers. So greater wealth means greater anxiety. There is always anxiety how to protect this wealth. Therefore we see rich people, they do not retire. They do not say that, oh, we have earned enough money to last for the next three generations, let us relax now. No, they are always under anxiety because they know any day this money can go. You know, they have to keep on working, keep on protecting the source of funds. But devotee is there without anxiety. They are in the spiritual world. They do not run after accumulation of money, as opposed to those in the material world. Some people come together, let us do a partnership, you have money, I have money, let us come together, we'll increase the money. And they do increase the money, the business becomes very big. Then after some time, what happens? They start fighting. So many times we've seen with big corporations, the owners start fighting. And who benefits? The lawyers benefit. They benefit. They keep on dragging the fight so that they can get more and more fees. So in this way, we see that actually desiring to go to the heavenly planets or desiring wealth, ultimately, actually, all leads to misery. All leads to misery. In the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, when Sukhdev Goswami is describing the great forest of material enjoyment, he mentions a very particular quality about money or wealth. And says that wealth never stays with the person for long. Yeah. It always belongs to someone else. That's the characteristic of wealth. Wealth always belongs to someone else. Therefore, devotees, they know very well that this pursuit of running after wealth is not a worthwhile pursuit. Therefore, they always concentrate on how to be in the spiritual world, where there is no anxiety, it's free from anxiety. And the process is what Amrish Maharaj taught his subjects. He taught them how to get into the spiritual world through the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing about the glories of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Both Suta Goswami and Sukadeva Goswami, they have mentioned this in the earlier cantos of the Bhagavatam. Tasmadekena manasa Bhagavan Ishvaro Hari Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha Smartavyaschechata Bhayam. Sukadeva Goswami mentions that if one wants to be free from all fear, then one has to hear about, glorify and remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead with one-pointed attention. And this has been repeated time and time again. Time and time again. So therefore, Ambarish Maharaj is teaching his subjects this process of hearing and chanting. Many times we've seen Srila Prabhupada, he gives the example, if someone is sleeping, all his senses are inert except one. When someone is sleeping, the ear is still active. Therefore, when we want to wake someone up, we shout their name. Then they wake up. Right. So in one way, we've also forgotten our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We've forgotten who we are. And the process of reviving our memory, our remembrance, is the process of hearing and chanting. Ambarish Maharaj, his character is being glorified by Sukadeva Goswami in how not only was he a responsible leader, but he was a great devotee as well. He taught by his own example. We read in the earlier verse how he engaged each and every limb of his in devotional service, each and every sense of his in devotional service. So it wasn't that Ambarish Maharaj was teaching something foreign to the subjects. No, he himself was practicing as well. He was practicing as well, and what he was doing, he was teaching. Similarly, in the description of Prithu Maharaj's reign, we see that Prithu Maharaj also was teaching by example. He would call all his citizens into his assembly hall and give them instructions on how to engage in the process of devotional service. Therefore, the leader has the responsibility. We see Rishabhdev, when he is instructing his sons, he gives them the instruction. And in those instructions, he's saying one should not become a father, a mother, a king, a demigod, a spiritual master, or a leader if that person is not capable of delivering their dependence from the process of birth and death. The leader has this responsibility. How to deliver the dependence? How to put them on the path of self-realization and not self-preservation, which means sense gratification. These days we see the leaders in Kali Yuga, especially those in government posts. Very few leaders actually, if there are any, advocate to their citizens how to engage in the process of devotional service. Mostly they are all concerned with economic development, providing facilities for sense gratification. So they've actually failed. Here we see why we are reading about Ambarish Maharaj. Or why are we reading about all these other great kings who are devotees as well? Dhruva Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, Yudhishthir Maharaj, Parikshit Maharaj. The Bhagavatam is full of descriptions of saintly kings. There's a reason why we're reading them. It's so that we can learn. Those who are in the leadership positions, they can learn how they should rule. What is the main aim of life? How they should teach those who are dependent on them the path of devotional service. This is our program. Krishna consciousness means how to have everyone remember who they are. What is their relationship with Krishna? This was the program from the beginning of the creation. We see Swayambhuva Manu, his descriptions are given in the third canto, and it's mentioned how after giving Devahuti to Kardama Muni, Swayambhuva Manu goes back to his palace, and in his palace the description is given how he spends his days. It's mentioned how he used to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he would go to sleep while hearing about the descriptions of the Lord, how he would teach his citizens how to engage in the process of devotional service. So right from the start of the creation, right from the first Manu, this was the program. This was the program. All the leaders, all the Manus, they had only this aim, how to get everyone to engage in the process of devotional service. And Amrish Maharaj is doing exactly that. Being responsible in that, providing not only for the material needs of his subjects, but also taking care of the spiritual needs. And he was so proficient at it, so much so that all his subjects, they didn't desire to enter into the heavenly planets. They had no desire for this. They only had, let us go back to the spiritual world. Therefore, the devotees, they only desire service. See, time and time again, when Dhruva Maharaj was asked, what do you want? He said, I don't want anything, but give me the blessing that I can be associated with devotees and hear about your qualities and pastimes and form and paraphernalia and so on and so forth. He said, bless me with the association of pure devotees. Similarly, Prithu Maharaj, when he was asked, what desire do you have? He said, I have no desire except to hear about you. So we see time and time again, the devotees in the Bhagavatam, they teach us, what is it that we should ask for? Regardless of what motive we had when we came to devotional service, at the end, the fruit of devotional service is Shravanam Kirtanam. When Dhruva Maharaj showed by his personal example, all these other devotees, Prithu Maharaj, also asked for the same thing. Maharaj Chitraketu, when he was cursed, this verse that Srila Prabhupada quotes in the purport is spoken by Lord Shiva. When Maharaj Chitraketu was cursed by Parvati, and he said, look how glorious the devotees are, that they are not afraid of any circumstance. Whether they are in heaven, whether they are in hell, whether they are in the earthly planets, it doesn't matter. The devotees are always free from anxiety because they are always 100% engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore it doesn't matter. We see Prahlad Maharaj in his prayers to Lord Narsingadev, he says the same thing. That never mind I don't mind my own situation, Prahlad Maharaj says. I know wherever I am, I'll be okay. I'm your devotee. I'm always remembering you. But I'm worried about those who are not remembering you. Therefore, I wish that they be benefited. This is the wonderful character of the devotees of the Lord. When Kapila Muni is instructing his mother, Devahuti, he says, my devotees, what to speak of heavenly planets? Here the discussion is going on in heavenly planets, how the subjects of Maharaj Amrish, they did not desire the heavenly planets. But Kapila Muni, he says, that what to speak of heavenly planets? My devotees don't desire even liberation. Salokya shashti samipya sarupepya matripta diyamanam nagrinati vina matsevanam jana. That even if I give my devotees liberation, they do not accept it if it's devoid of my service. If it's devoid of my service. So what to speak of heavenly planets? Heavenly planets are inconsequential for devotees. They're inconsequential. It doesn't even register on their brain. What to speak of then going to the higher planetary systems, Brahmaloka and so on and so forth. Even residence in Vaikuntha, devotees do not desire if it is devoid of service. We see therefore Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even in the Shikshastakam, he is saying the same thing. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadish kamaye, mama janmani janmanishvare, bhavatat bhaktir ahaituki tvai. I do not desire wealth, followers, beautiful women, even so much so that I do not desire even liberation. Birth after birth, I simply desire the opportunity to render devotional service. Unalloyed devotional service, ahaituki bhakti. Yeah. Therefore we see that Kapila Muni, he said, they don't want liberation. I give them liberation, they don't want it. And for my sake, tyaktva sajjana bandhava, they even give up their own families, they give up everything. These are my unalloyed devotees. Therefore Prahlad Maharaj, when he was praying to Narsingadev, he said, people, they want to become free from misery. We see here in the material world, everyone is very busy. How to become comfortable? How to get away from misery? No one wants misery. Yeah. So they try in their own way. If it's miserable at home, they decide how to get out from that situation. If it's miserable in the society, they decide how to get out from the... If it's miserable in the country, they decide how to get out from the country. Everyone wants to get free from misery. But Prahlad Maharaj is saying, no matter which path they take, as long as they don't come to the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, then whichever path they take to get out of misery is not going to help them. It will fail. The only way, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, the only way to get out of misery is through the process of devotional service. Only when one accepts the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord does one become free from misery. Therefore Lord Brahma, he prays, Yatpada Pallava Plavam Vinidhai, that your lotus feet are like a boat. That when devotees come onto that boat, they can easily cross the ocean of material miseries. It becomes as small as a calf's hoof print, the water contained within the calf's hoof print. So for devotees, they know how to get rid of misery. And the only way is through devotional service. As Prahlad Maharaj is praying, he continues, he says, people generally desire elevation to the heavenly planets. This is a desire. And Prahlad Maharaj said, I have seen what happens with this desire. And he gives the example of his father. He says, my father, he conquered everything. Hiranyakashipu, he had conquered everything. And he was so powerful that if he would shout a little, all the demigods would become scared. Prahlad Maharaj is telling Narsingadev this. He's saying, my father was so powerful that he would scare the demigods. But I have seen what happens. He was so powerful, he could scare the demigods, but he also got vanquished. Therefore, I do not desire the heavenly planets. My father had all that. And he continues, he says, even all the opulence, the riches, everything, I have seen all that. I do not desire it. I simply desire devotional service. I desire to take shelter of your lotus feet. So Prahlad Maharaj is teaching us. This is a devotee's desire. And therefore he is saying that those who are in the material world, they do not know what to ask for. When Prahlad Maharaj says, I do not even desire liberation. I want to stay here and teach everyone what to ask for. They are devotees, he says, but they are concerned with their own upliftment. But I am not like that. I want to see all these people who have forgotten your lotus feet. I want to remind them about your lotus feet. Because your lotus feet are the only way by which one can get rid of misery. Such wonderful prayers Prahlad Maharaj is offering to Nrisimhadev. He says, I do not desire anything except to serve your lotus feet. And for such devotees, the Lord, he says, no, I have to give you something. Just like with Dhruva Maharaj, the Lord, Prishni Garba, he told Dhruva Maharaj, you cannot have my darshan and go empty-handed. That's not possible. So I have to give you something. Therefore, Dhruva Maharaj was benedicted with senses that would never deteriorate and a very long time of rule on the earthly planets. Almost 36,000 years Dhruva Maharaj ruled for. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj also, although he said he doesn't want anything, Lord Nrisimhadev, he said, no, I have to give you. And therefore, he was installed on the throne as the king, blessed with a really long life. And strong senses. So the devotee, he gets everything simply by serving the lotus feet of the Lord. And they're not concerned about themselves. We see in the pastime of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's a devotee, Vasudev Datta. He also prays to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He says, you please take everyone, all the fallen conditioned souls, you take them back home, back to Godhead. And regarding their sinful reactions, you give them to me. I'll suffer on their behalf. This is the mood of the devotee. Therefore, Amrish Maharaj, by his own personal example, is teaching, being in a responsible leadership position, how everyone under him, all his dependents, they were taught the process of devotional service primarily the two limbs of hearing and chanting. When we engage in the process of hearing and chanting, then the purification becomes accelerated. And this is the end. The end is also in the Vaikuntha Loka. What do they do? What is the activity? What is the activity of the devotees in the spiritual world? The activity is also hearing and chanting. When Lord Brahma, he saw the vision of the Vaikuntha Loka, this is described in the second canto of the Bhagavatam, after he did his austerities for 100 celestial years, he got darshan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and alongside that darshan, he also saw the spiritual world. And there the description is given, how the residents of the spiritual world, the residents of Vaikuntha Loka, how they would fly about in their airplanes and how they were very, very beautiful. And what would they be doing? They would be engaged in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord. Lord Brahma saw this. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he gives the example of a typewriter. A typewriter in the spiritual world also will do the same. It will do cut, 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 cut. Similarly, here in the material world, it does the same thing. So for the devotee, because the activity, the aim is hearing and chanting, it doesn't matter for him whether he is here in the material world, whether he is in the hellish planets, or whether he is in the heavenly planets, or whether he is in the spiritual world. Because the activity for the devotee is the same, wherever they are. They are constantly engaged. Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantascha didavrita. Nama Shantasya Mam Bhakta Nityukta Upasate. Lord Krishna tells us in the Bhagavad Gita that his devotees, the Mahatmas, their characteristic is that they are always engaged in chanting. Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Always engaged in glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many descriptions are given about the pure devotees in the Bhagavad Gita by the Lord himself. Machita madgata prana bodayanta parasparam kathayantaschamam nityam tushyanti charamanticha. That my pure devotees, they constantly engage in enlightening one another by discussing about my topics. Katayantascha mam nityam. So this is our goal. The Bhagavad Vidhi is comprised of only hearing and chanting. This is the Bhagavad Vidhi. And as practicing devotees, our aim should be how to increase that hearing and chanting so that it becomes nityam. Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. We say every day. So our whole aim should be how we can increase our hearing and chanting, that it fills up the whole day. How we can increase our constant remembrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. And when a devotee is constantly remembering the lotus feet of the Lord, then there is no such thing as anxiety, misery, unhappiness, so on and so forth. They're always blissful. The external circumstances then become inconsequential. They hold no value. Because the devotee perceives the Lord as Vasudev, as all-pervading, everywhere. Therefore, Lord Brahma in his prayers, he says, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochanena Santasadevari Deyeshu Vilokayanti. The devotees, they always perceive Lord Krishna within their hearts. Therefore, there is no such thing. If they are always with Lord Krishna, then there is no such thing as being in the material world or the spiritual world or heavenly planets or hellish planets. It doesn't matter. So this should be our aim. Therefore, we are hearing how Amrish Maharaj taught his subjects and how leaders are supposed to also teach their subjects into how to achieve the purpose of human life, how to achieve the aim, which is to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his lotus feet through the process of hearing and chanting. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, he says always, and we quote this so many times, just chant and be happy. It's a very simple statement, chant and be happy. And sometimes we use it very loosely. Oh, Prabhu, you're having problem, chant and be happy. But actually this is the solution. You know, and the person who's being told that is thinking, oh, this devotee, you know, he doesn't care about me. You know, I'm having problem, and he's saying, just chant and be happy. But this is actually the solution. When we really chant, when we focus on our chanting and we come to the realization that the name of the Lord and the Lord himself are non-different, they're non-different, then we shall be happy. Then there will be no misery, no anxiety. We will not desire even to go to the heavenly planets or to go to a bigger temple or Western temple or so on and so forth. If we simply engage in the process of hearing and chanting. Therefore, in the Nectar of Instruction, Srila Prabhupada writes that the purpose of forming this institution, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, he said, I open this society so that devotees can come together and hear and chant. So each center is supposed to facilitate the opportunity to hear and chant about Lord Krishna. And in this way, when everyone is engaged in the process of hearing and chanting, then there is bliss. There is no problem. There is no problem. So here, in summary, we see Amrish Maharaj, not only is he teaching his subjects on the process of pure devotional service, primarily through hearing and chanting, but also through his own personal example, he is showing he was also engaged in the very same things. Vachangsi Vaikunta Gunanu Varnane. With his words, he was glorifying the Lord of the Vaikunta, Lord Krishna. I'll end there. If there are any questions or comments, or if anyone wants to add something.
Grantara Srimad Bhagatam ki jayantai gaur premanande hari hari bom.